Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Welcome to Horror Not Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How are you this week, sir?
Not too bad.
That's good to hear. I had a welt and swelling over my left eye. And then I popped it twice, and blood and pus went everywhere, and it's still there. And I'm getting ready for the convention this weekend, and it's been crazy getting everything planned and what you got to do. And but yeah, it's fun. We're here. We got two films, one big one, one anticipated film. Of course, It Chapter 2. The wait's finally over. It's been 2 years. And we'll be discussing that to continue on our Color Goria marathon. And then we have another film. This one's an anticipated indie offering, and it's going to be a wild one to discuss. And I can't wait to get into that one. But I guess the big thing is to talk about It Chapter 2, because we really don't have no time to pussyfoot around. We got to get these films out and reviewed, and because we'll be probably discussing it for a little bit, and then hopefully we'll have enough time to get to, our other film in. So It Chapter 2 is, of course, the sequel to It 2017, which, of course, is widely popular. Now it's, you know, now there's a shit ton of Pennywise and It merchandising based off the success of the first film, and you know, I kind of give that thanks for doing so well, and so all, you know, all kinds of clown stuff. There's even, you know, you can go to Walmart now and get like It mugs, even from the original, you know, Tim Curry. There's like It drinking glasses and pint glasses and cups and mugs, and they're like, holy shit. And T-shirts, you know, of course, there's always T-shirts, but it's just, you know, you got to give a thing, you know. It did well. It did well. So It Chapter 2 is the follow-up, and it takes place 27 years later, and we've discussed the news and the trailer and everything. So it's 27 years later, and it follows the same suit, plot, well, of course, as the book and, of course, the miniseries, where Mike is there. He still lives in Derry, and there's a murder that takes place at the beginning of the film, and it is Pennywise. He's back, and he calls on all the Losers Club, as he did in the, you know, everything, like, hey, it's back. And then something, hey, you know, like, they had a, you know, they're scared feeling, you know, something, you know, like the stutter comes back, or they just get scared, and like, you need to come back to Derry. And we need to figure this out. We got to make stuff happen, do this stuff. And so that's the very first sort of half of the movie is Mike getting all the, you know, Adult Losers Club back together and to figure out what to do with Pennywise. And they have to basically do this ritual at Chud. And they have to go out and they have to go their own separate ways. They're kind of hesitant at first. Like, yeah, it's whatever. We don't want to do that. We need to get out of here. You know, mainly Richie and Eddie, you know, sort of like all that stuff. And, you know, they each have their own, you know, adulthood now. You know, Bev is in an abusive relationship, like her father was abusive towards her. Eddie is married to a fat lady, you know, it's sort of controlling, like his mother. Richie is a comedian. Ben is, well, he's not an artist like he was in the, he's not an artist or a painter, but he's a building constructor. Like he technically he sort of is, like he creates the blueprints for the buildings. Bill is a writer, and a, you know, he's making movies, and there's a lot of puns there to Stephen King and even in the movie. And Richie's a comedian, so he still went on his merry way. And there's sort of hints to something there, and it's been getting a lot of news too here recently with Richie and his overall tone of the movie. But they all, you know, they all have to go out and go their separate ways and find tokens to put into this whole ordeal. You got to go out, you got to go your separate ways, find tokens, and come back and face, you know, we got to go down into the sewers, the only place to fight Pennywise. And that's technically the movie. And it is 3 hours long. And here's the thing. We talked about it, like, yeah, it's cool, make it 3 hours. After the end of the day, they could have done so much more in that 3 hours than what we initially got, because there's a lot of stuff in this film that felt rushed. The very first half of getting introduced to the losers, you know, adult club, you know, the losers club of the adults, and like the, you know, like bam, 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 they're already at the Chinese restaurant eating dinner, you know, reconnecting. And I was like, that's too quick, you know? And then like you're starting to get sort of invested in the characters, and then the tone of the movie is really off compared to the first one, where I thought it was a decent, you know, I think we both gave it a 7, the first It. And it's like it had a good atmosphere. It was fine. It was well paced. And this one is jumbled a little bit. The casting, after watching it, I think James McAvoy was miscast as Bill. He did not fit the adult Bill, in my opinion. Everybody else worked well. You could totally see it, but it felt like he was. He might have been first choice, but or he just wanted a big name, but he did not work as adult Bill, in my opinion. There's just like parts of it, like it relies more on jump scares, even though it didn't scare me at all. The jump scares didn't even work because you could see him coming. But it was for the monster and creature moments, I thought were good. There's even a homage to the John Carpenter's The Thing in there, which was like, as soon as I saw it, like, okay, fine, but it's this. And there's just like other parts of the film where I was like, you know, it was going along like, okay, it's fine. It's a fine movie. You know, nothing crazy, nothing, you know, all this, you know, anticipation, and like you're looking for this big thing to go down, and it kind of does towards the end in a different way, a big CGI fest, but it was okay. I mean, it's kind of what you would want in a sense for the finale, to do this big giant thing. And it's just like, you know, it's okay. And then, you know, just like it goes back and forth to, you know, you have the adult losers and then you have the kid losers, and there's the de-aging process. And it kind of showed definitely for sure in the clubhouse and the underground clubhouse scene, especially with Ben, like you could, and young Richie, you definitely seen where like they de-aged them and it looked weird. You know, for like a little odd, you know, glow around them in the sense, and it just looks, you know, generated, you know, just like, of course, like, young, like Robert Downey Jr. in like, what was the Civil War when they de-aged him, or, you know, how they do it in Marvel stuff when they de-age somebody and it looks a little bit weird. Or like Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel, you know, it looked, you know, it was decent, but it was just, you could tell. And that's what it kind of looks like in this one. It's a little bit off. And some of the CGI in this film is a mess. There's one certain scene where there's somebody, the flaming head scene looked horrific and looked like something you would see on the Sci-Fi Channel or an Asylum movie. It just looked like, holy shit, that is bad. Some of it looked okay. But some of it just looked terrible. And it just really stood out. And it's just, it was so weird. Like Andy, you know, Muschietti, the director, you know, like he had, you know, he wanted to do, you know, have some from the book and expand it and do all this stuff that the miniseries didn't have, but also, the, you know, try to do stuff like that was seen in the miniseries and include it in the movie. And like a lot of stuff just like felt, you know, it just didn't work. You go on for a little bit and you discuss it. I mean, I've went on.
Yeah.
Let's go back and forth.
Yeah, my wife and I, we went to go see it together and we've been discussing it. And honestly, I was really excited about this movie. One, I like clown movies. Two, I actually really liked the, you know, It Chapter One. I thought it was, you know, a really good movie. I was very disappointed with this movie. I didn't hate it. I want to go on and say, you know, I did not hate this movie, but I was not impressed by it. It did feel rushed. Some parts just drug on too much. The whole beginning scene was just unnecessary, honestly. Like, I get what they were trying to do, but I feel like they executed that horrifically. Instead of, like, trying to shine a light on that this town has more problems than just Pennywise, I mean, it was just, like, nothing really came back to it except for like maybe two scenes, but I just felt the whole opening was just completely unnecessary. You could took the whole thing out and just been, you know, fine. And I liked the creatures. I liked the creature stuff. That was my favorite parts. Honestly, I didn't even really like it that much in the movie. Some of his scenes were okay, but I felt like they were just kind of meh. Unlike the first movie, when you had the, you know, them watching the movie, and then like he just slowly like gets, you know, looking through all those pictures, and he just slowly like just comes out of the screen.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. That was
like they used it more sparingly. In this one, but
yeah.
Like he had more of an impact in the first one than he does in this one. They do the whole, you know, creature fear stuff with the old lady, with the Paul Bunyan, with the fortune cookies at the Chinese restaurant, and just like stuff again. Like they go back to the house later on in the movie, and they do the same beats with the fridge. And the doors and what's behind the doors. And it's like, it's not bad, you know, you can repeat some things, but it's just like, you know, it's like they didn't really try. I mean, of course, the one, you know, the John Carpenter's The Thing scene is like, why'd you have to go that route? You know, like, you couldn't have done something better. I mean, I guess it was a homage and everything, but it could have been, you know, like, because, again, it's CGI, and you have that, and then you just go back to looking at John Carpenter's The Thing, and it's all practical. Like, oh, my God, it just looks night and day. Like, you didn't need to do that. It was not a good choice. And there's, like, a lot of choices in here. It's just like, you know, just like, oh, we got to get to this, and some characters get left out. They didn't really do that much with the Bev and Ben love story. I mean, they tried to, especially towards the end. And then,
yeah,
like,
really
again,
forced.
Yeah, there was really nothing there. And then, I mean, there's some parts that worked. I mean, I thought, you know, when Richie is at the park and everyone stops and they're moving back and forth, and there's,
oh,
like, scenes
that
were like, yeah, there's, like, some scenes that could work on the creep, you know, on the atmosphere and everything, which is, like, again, they're throwing one-liners out there, Richie and Eddie. I mean, Bill Hader and the guy that played Eddie did a phenomenal job. I enjoyed their performance.
Oh, God,
I really did.
Yes.
They really
the
nailed
best
it down.
Character.
Yeah. And again, I don't mind the comedy aspect of it, because it's kind of how it was in the first one. So it didn't really bother me. It just, like, some parts were just like, you know, I don't know. It just, it didn't really do anything, man. It was like all this hype and everything. Like, it was going to be 3 hours and it was going to be this epic. And then you get to it and you watch it and the whole thing and like, what was that? You know, it wasn't really the epic film or conclusion that you kind of wanted. I mean, they went balls to the wall with the finale and, like, just, you know, with crazy, you know, giant spider Pennywise. But, again,
oh,
it was all
that.
CG. And you wanted, there was, like, everything was, like, CG. You know, the scene in the Maze of Mirrors, it was CG. You hardly got Pennywise by himself, except for, like, when he didn't have the makeup on, and he, like, he puts the makeup on and, like, cuts his face that you see in the trailer. And then, like, there's, like, parts that are even, I know they're wanting to do a super cut and make it, like, at least, like, a five-hour movie. And, like, he wants to go back in, direct the scene that's in the book, and then direct the scene that's not in the book, and then make this big, giant super cut. And then I've assumed, and then there's the scenes where they have the deleted scenes from the first intercut with this one, because the scene with Stanley giving the speech at his bar mitzvah or whatever, and then that's in the deleted scenes that you thought would be put back into the, and I think the one scene with Bev too, with her father and the perfume, I think that's a deleted scene in the first one. So they just intercut that, and, like, it's cool that they could put those back in there, but it's just like, that's just kind of elongated. But again, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't have that many kid moments. And there's just a lot of things that, like, it kind of hit. It was a hit and miss. I mean, there's parts I liked, parts I didn't like, but overall, it's just like, eh. And I walked out, and, you know, I was thinking, like, what would I? Because I gave the first one a 7, and it's definitely, I gave it like a 6. I mean, it's still not too bad, but it's still, you know, like, hits all the points that I liked, and then the points I didn't. Yeah, it was like a 5.56, and I'm still not sure. It's one of those I'm just really...
Well, mostly just because, honestly, like I said, I really did not like the opening. I mean, a lot of people didn't, because of all the, what that all entailed. It just felt like...
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, it was very, very poorly executed, because it just felt like, I don't know, the guy wanted to just hurt somebody like that. And I was just like, I mean, I get it. You know, I've watched more fucked up shit than that. Like,
and plus, that was in the book. That beginning scene is in the book. The whole scene's in the book too. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never read the book. Stephen King wasn't popular when where I in my little circles. And anyway, but you know, I like I said, it just kind of was just kind of meh for me. But I did. I read a review that said that it works as a really good comedy, both because of the, you know, the comedy aspects, but it kind of falls flat on the horror. And, you know, I kind of thought about that a little bit, and I was like, it's slightly true, because they do rely on, you know, the humor quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just feels like if, when they didn't know what to do, they were just like, be funny. And it worked. I thought it was, I you know, I didn't hate the comedy. I just, I don't know, for a 3-hour long movie, I just wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like I just didn't feel satisfied. I mean, I liked the ending, you know, I kind of liked how it ended, but also kind of thought it was cheesy as fuck for, you know, this big epic movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just disappointed by it.
It's definitely one of the more disappointing conclusions. When it has all this hype around it, and it's going to be this, you know, sprawling 3-hour film. Well, 2 hours and 45 minutes, but whatever. It's 3 hours. And it's just, you know, like, because, like, it goes on and goes on. It, like I said, it follows the same path as Endgame, where each person has their own little quest, or they have to go after the Infinity Stone, they have to do their own thing, Infinity Stone token, blah blah blah, they all come together at the end. You know, one of them has to die. It follows the same beat as Endgame, and they come all together to face the big baddie, and then they get down and out, and then more, you know, they come together. It's just the same fucking thing. So I had that in my head too.
Yeah.
Like, this is just Endgame. You know, I was like,
I didn't even think about that.
I wanted 3 hours, but I didn't want it to, like, go against everything else that I've already seen before. I wanted to do something else. And it's kind of hard to do with, of course, the material, because it's the miniseries. You know, I've already seen the miniseries numerous times. I've, you know, the book's there, and it follows the same path. But, you know, they could have done, you know, make it not that uneven in parts, because, again, it's just like, it was just like a little bumpy roller coaster, you know. It was just like, boop, boop, boop. Like, here's comedy, here's some scares, here's this, here's that. It was like, ugh, it's convoluted, and it's just, you know, I really wouldn't say it's uneventful, but, you know, it has some decent, okay things to it, and, you know, here's the thing too, the first it, the theater was packed, and that was a Saturday first showing, and that was like 2 hours. And then here it is 2 years later, first showing, almost 3 hours, not even a full crowd. So, again, that's I guess I don't know whether that's uninteresting, you know, people uninterested, or it's the 3-hour runtime. But again, people were there for Endgame 3 hours, and they're like, it was packed. So I don't know.
Yes. And I watched when it first came out. Actually, I watched it, you know, close when it first came out, and we saw ours on the first It movie on like a weekday at, you know, matinee time, and the theater was packed. This time, we saw it on a Monday at like 5, 6 o'clock, and there was hardly anyone in the theater. I noticed that too. I was like, and it's just, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I mean, I read reports that it did really well on opening night, but I don't know.
It made 91 domestically, 91 million. I mean, it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still a good, you know, compared to everything here recently, 91 million is pretty damn good. But it's not the financial success of the first one, because it was just like, I don't know, it was just like everything was right for It Chapter One. Like, everything was going well. It was like all this marketing, and then this one comes along, it's just not even, I mean, like, oh, see a chapter, you know, it ends. I'm like, okay, cool. And then just 3 hours, like, oh, shit. And then I guess bad word of mouth, too, because, like, oh, nothing really happens. You know, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
stuff happens.
Reviews.
But just, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and,
yeah, I mean,
you
I
know,
can't.
I kept...
Go ahead.
So, you know, I kind of, when everybody, when all the actresses and, like, actors were like, this is the bloodiest movie, you know, it's going to be bloodier than the first one. I had a suspicion. I was like, it's just going to be probably one scene, and it's probably just going to be some random blood just coming out of nowhere. And I was right. And I was like, God. I was like, nobody really, and that's the thing, like, nobody really, like, gets killed in a gruesome way. I mean, there's a couple
no.
of bad deaths, but...
No, we'll talk about gruesome in their next film.
Oh, God.
I think, honestly, the most gruesome death didn't really come from it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, there's
kind
only
of confused,
there's,
like...
Yeah.
About that, yeah. You know, like, the whole, when he was no makeup. I was kind
yeah.
of like, is that was like random, and I was kind of trying to make sure I missed, like, if I missed something, because I was like,
well, they tried to explain everything,
like,
but they didn't give it enough time. They're too busy, like, oh, we need to learn more about Bev hiding the note she got in the wall. We
oh,
need to
God,
we need to follow this
forever.
Kid and then, yeah, we need to see her open this. We need to, you know, we don't see anything about Ben, not Ben, but Mike, you know, when he goes on his journey to get his rock, you know, token. You know, we don't know what the hell happened he had to go through. I mean, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure they shot it. Yeah, or he had, yeah, that as well.
Just
but like, just
like Ben had his.
Yep.
I don't know. It was weird, but eh.
But still, Ben, he had his, but he still had to go through all that shit. And then we got the terrible flaming head scene out of it.
Honestly, I was just like, he should have already known he had his. Like, I didn't understand why he had to go on a journey. I was like, that it was pointless. I was like,
and then
it
Ricky
literally
didn't
was...
really make sense either. Going to the arcade, like, what the fuck? You know, I thought it was supposed to be like a good token for the, you know, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was supposed to be
yeah,
like of the group.
He was. What he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that whole ordeal.
Yeah. That didn't pan
I guess,
out or,
I mean,
no,
yeah.
or have no
yeah.
closure. Like, I was like, did he, you know, I don't want to say it because, you know, everybody's
yeah.
freaking, oh, I mean, everybody's freaking out about me. But it's just nothing. Like, that turned out to be nothing. There's just so many dead ends and, like, plot holes and just, I just didn't, I don't know.
Yeah. But let's get off this subject and get into something else.
Yeah,
you know, we discussed it long enough and we need some time. Yeah. But that's it, chapter two. And our next film for our Colorgoria marathon definitely is the moniker Colorgoria. Because this comes from us from nobody else but Todd Sheets. This is Clownado. This is a big indie release, anticipated release from Todd Sheets, because I remember when this was coming along, like his next film was going to be a film called Clownado. I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. And then here it is, you know, it was going to Indiegogo and all that stuff, and it's upon us. And this is another mixed bag for me. Jesus, Clownado. Okay, so our main, I don't even know the main protagonist, but it starts out with Savannah and her now boyfriend, love interest, and they're wanting to get away. And Ronnie is her previous love interest, and he's a clown, and he runs this circus, and it's him and a bunch of other, you know, clowns that are, you know, they're just sort of bad people in a sense. They're just, you know, whatever. And he kills Savannah's new love interest and then kind of kidnaps her and uses her against her will in the circus by, like, throwing knives at her. And then her friend Autumn decides, like, they're going to do this ritual or seance or something. And either, again, I don't exactly know, either it was something went bad maybe, or just they didn't really flesh it out. And, like, they get caught up in this tornado, and, like, basically all the clown, Ronnie and his gang all get sucked up in this tornado, and, like, they're now a part of the tornado, and they're just going around killing people. And that's – and then we're introduced to Hunter and Dion, and Dion's black Elvis, black guy dressed as Elvis. And then we have, like, Bambi and Rachel, and Bambi's, like, a sort of a stripper at a bar. She gets fired. Hunter's just a random dude who picked up Black Elvis. And it's just Rachel's the daughter of, you know, just this character that's getting chased by this one dude who just happens to be her father. It kind of doesn't go nowhere, really. But, like, the first half of this is messy. Because it doesn't really follow who you're supposed to, you know, your antagonist. Like, is it supposed to be Savannah? Is it Hunter? And it just kind of treads the line of, like, who cares, right? It's a film about Clownado. It's no point whatsoever. But then it hits that second mark once the clowns strike down and they start attacking people in the diner in the town. And then that's the stride where it hit the sweet spot. And that sweet spot is so fucking good, where the clowns just go on a murderous rampage, just ripping people apart, tearing them apart, and then just, like, murdering kids and all this other shit that goes down. Like, the female clown, her tits turn into teeth and her stomach turns into a mouth, and it's blood, gore, everything. It was a great sweet spot. And then the end turns into fucking Sharknado. And, like, how Sharknado's ends, like, we got to wrap this up, we got to do this, we got to do that, and then boom, we're out of here. And and it's just that middle part that's so fucking great. And then everything else is just mess, in a sense. And it's just like, oh, you could have done so much well. Like, the first half, is, like I said, it's just all over the place. And then that sweet spot, and then the ending once they hit the airport hangar, and then it just goes downhill. Ian, your thoughts?
Well, it was an interesting watch, to say the least. It was fun. It was fun. It was messy here and there, and I was like, it's just, I don't know, it made me laugh. Like, it was just that and the dialogue, like, mm-hmm. how, you know, they were trying to talk all, like, Dick Tracy type.
Yeah, it definitely had, like, a weird vaudeville sort of, you know, like, what is this, the 30s, you know, like, accent. Like, I don't know if they're from Boston or Jersey. Like, no, like, yeah, like, hey, Ronnie, what are you doing now, pal? Something like that. It was a weird, you know, accent.
It was different from, you know, today's. So I was like, I give him credit. I was like, the first thing I noticed, I was like, oh my God, they're trying to be like a Dick Tracy kind of thing. And I just thought it was hilarious. Because I was like, that literally was not what I was expecting out of a clown movie. But hey, it's a clown movie. It doesn't have to make sense. And then.
Yeah, this one doesn't. And that's the thing, too. It's like you're supposed to all the things that are wrong with it, I mean, I'm probably just going to get told, just turn your brain off. It's dumb. It's like a Sharknado film, you know, of course.
And yeah, like, you're not supposed to.
It doesn't make sense, you know. Like, the one clown gets shot in the stomach and dies, but the other one gets shot in the head and lives. And then, like, you don't really know exactly, or, like, the clown's dead, you know, like, what made them, you know, did they turn them into supernatural or something where they're not able to die? And, like, what gives, you know, with this incantation seance thing and clown? Because, like, a lot of stuff, just the rules or whatever, you know, like, again, in Clown Motel last week, like, the rules was kind of all over the place. This one is the exact same thing where, like, exactly what happened to them now, because they're just normal people. in clowns, you know, clown outfits and, you know, stuff like that. And then this whole thing, I guess it turned them invincible, sort of. I don't know. Ian, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
But
it's just like that part threw me off. You know, especially,
yeah,
of course, what happened
to
the girl clown, too, you know.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't notice anything. Like, it's like, okay, so to get cursed to be in a tornado, does that mean, like, they've turned into demons? Also, that final death scene, I guess, with the clown. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, because I thought they couldn't die, and then I seen them die, and I was very confused by the rules of this movie. And I don't know, it was a very interesting watch. And most of the characters I didn't really care for, because they were kind of irritating.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly mostly the dialogue. Because that, just, you know, that 30 style of how they were talking just was throwing me off.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing it needed to be more fleshed out at the beginning, so you wouldn't have, you know, our questioning about everything, because all, you know, they just have, you know, Autumn does the thing, she goes crazy or something, and then the tornado picks up the clowns, and then they're part of it, and then, like, but they're able to strike down and walk normally, like people, you know, like normal walking people, and then murder people in gruesome, violent, bloody ways. It's awesome because it's Todd Sheets, and you get practical gore effects and bloodshed and spray and just the most gruesome stuff because it's Todd Sheets.
Yeah.
And then just like it follows, like, oh, we need to get a liquid nitrogen tank and drop it in the tornado. And like, oh, that's okay.
I was like, that tank isn't even big enough to do anything like that. That, and I was like, plus they probably, I guess the guy probably has, like, tanks everywhere, like,
yeah,
that were full. But,
see,
like,
and that's that whole ending of the first Sharknado. That's what they did the first Sharknado, so it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you saw the first Sharknado, he would want to do the same stuff, but with clowns. It's just like the whole reasoning and, like, some character, you know, like seeing the Rachel, the girl, like, running from the creep, and he's not exactly a creep. And then, like, there's, like, the fight in the bar. And, like, there's, you know, like I said, some of the things just don't work, but it's just, again, that sweet spot. I mean, if they worked the beginning, rewrote it, worked it, made it a little bit easier to comprehend about everything, and then that sweet spot hit, and then they kind of did something a little bit different for the ending. And again, like, all the practical stuff that they use at the beginning, and then at the end they use a CGI head pop, which is, like, lame. But I guess that's kind of the point he wanted to do, I guess. I don't know. It felt a little odd choice to go that way. But again, that sweet spot's so great. I mean, it's so good. Just, like, everything you'd want. And that's, like, the second film I watched this week where, like, kids getting fucking killed. The other one was Arctic, and, like, a kid got a shotgun to the head. I was like, that was awesome. You know? Like, I'm a terrible person. But, again, it's just, like, that sweet spot was so good. And seeing all that shit happen. And then it's just, like, the beginning is messy, and then the ending is just weak. And then, like, you're not even sure about, like, Savannah, because, like, she gets killed. Well, technically, they pull her heart out and do something with it, and then she comes back from the dead some way. But she wasn't a part of, like, now they have magical powers to bring people to life now. Like, again, like, the whole thing is all messed up. Like, you don't exactly know what the reasoning behind or, you know, like, again, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to. It's a movie about clowns and a tornado. But, like, some of it's just, like, you need to rework that a little bit and kind of made that,
oh,
like,
yeah, no.
You know, like, now she's an undead clown killer, in a sense. So, yeah, it just didn't really, you know, like, they wanted
hands.
To cut her arms. Yeah. It was just a little bit. I mean, it was still. It was a decent watch. I mean, I had. You know, again, it's just that sweet spot, man. I can't get over that sweet spot.
It's definitely. If you're going to have a. It definitely could be in a clown movie marathon. Or a shark. Or like a tornado movie marathon.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't.
I mean,
want
you. It's a necessity to watch. I mean, if you watched all the Sharknado films, you have to watch a film called Clownado. There's no way about it. If you're a clown aficionado, you want to watch Clownado. If you're a gore hound, you're going to want to watch it. I mean, it has everything. You know, it hits all the marks for an audience. It has a clown. It has a gore. It has a crazy premise. But it's just that the beginning and that ending at the hangar is just where it all kind of just, like, falls flat. And then there's that sweet spot. I mean, I kind of have to recommend it for that sweet spot. But everything else, just it's a mess. You know, not a bad mess, but it just it needed to be, you know, a little bit fleshed out in the storytelling and sort of a better ending than what we got with the how to deal with the Clownado. But again, that's neither here nor there, I guess. It's just one of those movies where, like, yeah, fuck it. You're not supposed to think about it. That's
right.
A dumb movie. Turn your brain off. Ian, any final thoughts?
You know, well, you know, just the whole, like, just, I don't know if she, I was very confused by that, too. I thought she died, and then when I saw her come back, I was like, what? I was like, maybe she just passed out, but that felt weird to me because it was just came out of nowhere. And I guess that's what they wanted to do, but I don't know. But I don't know. I don't really have any other thoughts other than that wouldn't get us kicked off. So
yeah, no, just like, again, it's worth a watch, as we said, for everything that we hit. If you want to see a great sweet spot of fucking practical gore effects and bloodshed, watch it. If you want to watch a weird film about clowns in a tornado, like a Sharknado, watch it. It hits all hits everything. So it's definitely, you know, you have to, in a sense. And if you like, you know, Todd Sheets and indie filmmaking, one of the shot-on-video pioneers, you got to watch it. But, yeah, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Next week is – well, this coming week is Scarefest, and I will be going. And then Monday – is the Three from Hell. It's a three-night event, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I'm going on the Monday. Hopefully you get a free mini poster to go with it. So next week will be Scarefest results, and then, well, first it's going to be Three from Hell, and hopefully an update on Sig Hade's condition because of what happened this past week, because it's supposed to have an update tomorrow, they said. So hopefully we'll have an update along with a review of Three from Hell, and Scarefest results. So that's going to be another big week. And then we got more films the following week, Clowns, continue our Colorgoria marathon. It's been fun. I'm enjoying it. And I can't wait to see what other two films the following week after Three from Hell, because it's going to be – there's one I found, but we'll figure that out. But anyway, I'm digressing. I'm rambling on. Ian. Thank you, as always, for being my co-host, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week.